This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and today our special guest, Will Hundle with USDA's National Ag Statistics Service. We'll talk with Will in just a moment. First, Ian Jeffries is president and CEO of the Association of American Railroads and talks about some upcoming deadlines dealing with labor unions. He spoke recently on CNBC's The Exchange.
Well, all parties continue to talk throughout this process, and that's an important point to remember. Right now, the two unions whose initial ratifications did not pass, we're in a continued cooling off period with them, maintaining the status quo of operations at least up through November 19th. And as I said, we have four additional unions that are going to be going out for ratification in the coming weeks as well. And so we've got plenty of time to work through this, and that's what we'll do.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and we're joined today by Will Hundle. Will is Regional Director of USDA's National Ag Statistics Service for the Southern Plains region. We refer to it by the acronym NAS. Will, welcome back to the show.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Hey, so again, probably an elementary question, but probably a good place to start the conversation for those who don't understand what NAS is and how NAS fits under the umbrella of USDA. What's that elevator speech?
Well, NAS is the data collection arm for the U.S. Department of Agriculture. We're one of the oldest agencies around with the department. We issued our first crop production report in 1865. So we've been around quite a while. We have one mission, and that's to collect, compile, and disseminate statistics in service to U.S. agriculture.
And I've got a few questions for you coming up, but maybe before we get there, when it comes to actually gathering that information, has it changed over time? Has it changed since that first report in the 1800s?
Absolutely. We've gone through a number of changes, and we continue to look at how best that we can collect information in reserving the time for the respondents and the producers that we seek answers. So it's gone from paper data collection to in-person data collection, telephone enumeration. Now we're venturing into the electronic data reporting. So it's evolved over time, trying to keep up with technology and try to be mindful of the efficiency for the respondents.
You mentioned the technology there, and I would imagine technology is just one small sliver of what we might find in the 2022 Census of Ag. Tell us more about that.
Sure. We've actually have started asking questions in the census regarding technology, not only, you know, access to the Internet, but types of access of Internet, whether it's broadband, or dial up, you know, the different available options there to respondents. And some of that has come back to pay dividends for rural America particularly, in that looking at that information, we see the need for helping to develop some of those technology options so that producers can have a little higher access to the Internet.
Well, and again, when we talk about that census of ag, There's so much to it. What do you think is some of the most important information that we pull from the Census of Ag, and maybe somewhere in there we need to talk about how that's actually gathered and the work that those respondents put into it?
Well, that's a very good question, I'm not sure I can give you a single answer for the most important, because it's all important, otherwise we wouldn't be asking that information. But I do, when visiting with respondents and industry groups, you know, number of farms and land and farms are probably the two foundation statistics out of that report. You know, this is a comprehensive data set published for every county in the U.S. and Puerto Rico. So it's done every 5 years, so it's around for a little while. But it collects information on data series that we typically may not include during our annual surveys program. So it's a timely series. It more or less measures the structure of agriculture versus the production of agriculture like our annual surveys do.
I find it kind of interesting as we go back through that census of ag, how things change over time, and really kind of takes us maybe to another question, how we start a season and then we get ready to end the season and it looks so different. Do you do end of season surveys?
We do. Actually, we're working on the completion of our small grains county estimates data collection endeavor. That's a component to our annual small grain summary, which we completed in September. The county estimate survey that we're wrapping up now will make available county estimate level statistics for wheat and oats here in Texas. Those will be coming out sometime in the first part of December. In addition to that, we're working on the December annual row crop summary. That, again, is looking at collecting data on acreage yield production for the row crops. That information will be released on January 12, 2023 at the state level. And then we're also working on a county level survey that is a composite to the annual row crop. And then that data set's used to establish county level estimates for corn, soybeans, cotton, so on.
And you mentioned the row crops in there, but obviously that's not all you look at. There's livestock reports. I know that from time to time we'll get our cattle on feed report. We get our quarterly reports. We get a semi-annual report. What else is going on in that livestock sector that you're kind of focused on right now?
Very good. Currently, we're working on our survey plans for the quarterly hog survey, which we have in March, June, September, and December. So in December, we'll have our annual hog survey. That's a much broader sample base. That report comes out on December 23rd. And then at the same time, we're working on compiling and preparing for our data collection process for our January livestock inventory surveys, which would be your cattle inventory, your sheep and goat inventory. We always have something in the play, and because some of these surveys are all interrelated, for example, the cattle on feed survey you mentioned, that's one we do every month. We're looking at that part to be the annual summary that comes out in February. So there's always some component that interconnects these survey programs together. As I mentioned, our small grains county estimates, a component of our September small grain summary, our annual row crops summary is part of our row crop county estimates. So there's a piece that's always connected together. That's what helps us frame the benchmarks and provide good indications going into the estimates.
I would imagine, though, trying to get any of this information requires quite a bit of manpower, and we just know that there are sections of the ag industry that struggled to make sure that those positions are filled. How's NAS doing at this point, especially coming back from the pandemic? Have you been able to fill the roles that those positions that need to be filled, and are things almost back to normal? Are they back to normal yet?
Well, that's a great question, and I'm proud to say NAS hasn't ever missed a heartbeat, even during the pandemic. I mean, we've been able to continue collect our data. We've had to change some of the methods or the approaches that we've collected data. And I have to say our NASDA field crew has done a phenomenal job in sticking with this through thick and thin and getting that data collected in a telephone-type environment. We are moving to more face-to-face interviewing. We've heard both from our NASDA team as well as their respondents. You know, they like to have that face-to-face interaction. But at the same time, we've got to keep both parties safe and secure. So it's been challenging, but you know, we've done a really good job of continuing to provide the services to support agriculture.
I guess the last one here, and maybe there's no answer, but it's more of those crystal ball kind of things, or things that you might think about that might be exciting coming down the road. So maybe it's a way that we're collecting information. Maybe it's the possibility of a different type of report. Maybe it's just a change internally. But is there something that you look down the road and you go, this is really exciting when it comes to what we're doing here at NAS?
At the current point, the most exciting point to me is we're able to go back and visit personally with our respondents. You know, to me, that personal relationship, being able to explain why we're collecting information, why we're seeking input from producers, how that information is used in the report, and then what those reports are used for. You know, we're government, and everybody looks at the government and has all types of questions. And that's the most important thing I hope individuals get from this message is we are here to support agriculture. We want to make sure that individuals understand the information that they're providing and the importance that it provides to not only their industry, but agriculture as a whole. And I might add, you know, we seldom get, you know, just 100% response on any project that we do without having questions come back on the purpose of that information. Likewise with the census, you know, that's a fairly thick questionnaire coming to individuals who may have one or two commodity areas. The important thing is you go through that questionnaire and follow the skips to where you can enter the information that's pertinent to your particular operation. As I mentioned earlier, we've got to count the farms, the number of farms. That's what brings the programs, the personnel, and the support to the ag industries in rural America.
Will, so good to visit with you. Will you come back and see us down the road?
Absolutely. I'd be glad to keep a status of what we're doing with the census and how we're progressing through that effort. We will be mailing questionnaires out in the first part of December. The response date is February 6th of 2023. But, you know, we're here to help get individuals to sign up and get that questionnaire completed. So please give us a call.
Will Hundel is Regional Director of USDA's National Ag Statistics Service for the Southern Plains region and joins us on today's Agribusiness Report.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Farming season is coming to a close, and you and your equipment have been running hard. It's time to slow down with some much-needed maintenance. At Livingston Machinery, we can get your machines back to performance ready with the annual winter service special going on now. For a limited time, get 15% off AGCO parts, 10% off service, and 180 days no interest, no payments when you use your AGCO Plus account. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Will Hundel with USDA's NAS.
When it comes to farming in dry conditions, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dry land cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dry land cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing, and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. You can learn more about the Census of Ag online at farmers.gov.
Farming season is coming to a close, and you and your equipment have been running hard. It's time to slow down with some much-needed maintenance. At Livingston Machinery, we can get your machines back to performance ready with the annual winter service special going on now. For a limited time, get 15% off AGCO parts, 10% off service, and 180 days no interest, no payments when you use your AGCO Plus account. Learn more at livingstonmachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
If you don't push yourself, how will you know what you're really made of? Cotton Research and Promotion Program works to develop innovative performance technologies that redefine cotton's capabilities and helps athletes push themselves further. Cotton Incorporated is working hard to educate consumers about cotton's versatility, especially in the athletic apparel market. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton. Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. Ian Jeffries, President CEO of the Association of American Railroads.
I can tell you that the tentative agreements that are on the table are based on a well thought out and comprehensively developed framework that a panel of experts appointed by President Biden assembled. And the railroads stand by those frameworks and the agreements that are based on those frameworks. We're pleased that six unions have ratified as well. And we're committed to making sure that that the rest of the unions get across the finish line. Because at the end of the day, this is important to make sure our employees are well compensated, get the pay raises they deserve. This package would offer the highest pay raises in over 50 years. And most importantly, we need to keep the economy moving. All stakeholders are focused on ensuring continuity in the rail system and making sure we're continuing to support the economy.